The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are now delighted to welcome the executive producer of this program, the one and only Kenny Chesney. Kenny, thank you so much for making time. What a thrill to have you on this program.
Paul, thank you. It's an honor to be here. I enjoy your show. I'm thrilled to be a part of it, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pretty obvious question, and I know the answer because I know your love of John Ward and growing up a Tennessee Vol fan. But yeah. Take us through putting this thing together, and everything has to start where?
Well, obviously, it did start with my love of Tennessee football and John Ward. I grew up just outside of Knoxville, and it was during a time, as you know, before we, you know, the Southeastern Conference had its own network. It was before we could consume sports like we do now. And so if Keith Jackson didn't come with a network to your town, you really didn't get to see your game, or unless you went, unless you heard one of these personalities call the game for you. And my guy was John Ward, and he was such a cult hero for the University of Tennessee. And when we got approached to make this film, I just jumped at the chance, because I'm not going to say it's a lost art, but it's a fading one, because the guys that do it today are really great. I think Bob Kessling does an amazing job for the University of Tennessee calling football and basketball. But it was during a time where it's literally all we had, and the guys that called the game throughout the Southeastern Conference were bigger than life, and they made the game bigger than life. That's where it started.
Well, Kenny, speaking of John Ward, when I was in school at UT, we had some Tuesday night, we had a John Ward contest, who could do the best John Ward imitation. And I'll never forget, there were hundreds of people there. And I looked in the back, and there was John Ward. Somebody had asked him to come by, and he slipped out before anybody could talk to him. But, I mean, he appreciated that, as you well know. He's one of the all-timers.
He's one of the all-time greats. And, you know, I was watching your show, and I saw – underneath, you know, who would you have narrate your life? And John Ward would definitely be one of the people I would want to narrate my life. I got the opportunity to, and the thrill to meet John Ward when I did a film for Conridge Holloway, on Conridge Holloway's life, you know, as far as the Tennessee life anyway. We interviewed John Ward, and that it was as if I had met, you know, the my biggest hero ever, just because he was just such a great storyteller, and what he meant to me and my family. You know, when I was a kid, I would be out in the backyard listening to the Tennessee game, and I would listen to John Ward call these plays, and I was trying, me and my buddies were out in the backyard trying to reenact what John was calling. And we were wearing the Tearaway number 7 Tennessee jerseys, and, you know, a lot of these guys that we got to interview, it was really interesting to see how much the effect that the guys before them had on them, just like John Ward had on me. We made them listen to, you know, I was watching a few minutes ago, how, and I love that you showed that, like, we made everybody we interviewed listen to certain plays. They did the same to me. We did the same to Peyton Manning. To everybody we interviewed, we made them listen to a play, and to see the people's reaction, and it just allows them to relive those moments. And it was just really, really, it was really, really thrilling to watch, you know, because guys like John Ward and Larry Munson and, you know, still Eli Gold today, there's so many people, I think people forget that they bring families together. I remember me and my father driving around Knoxville on a Saturday afternoon, and we didn't go to the game, but you know, we'd almost stop on the side of the road and listen to John Ward. And so it was a thrilling project to make.
I think some people, Kenny, obviously know a little bit, a lot about your background, not a little, but, you know, you grew up in that area. You played high school football, and you obviously developed an affinity for Tennessee. But how did that ultimately shape what you are now world famous for? As one of the great country music stars ever.
Well, thank you. I think that, you know, like anybody, I think my background really, the way I was brought up had a lot to do with my work ethic, had a lot to do with, I don't know, just the way you treat people out on the road. And I owe that to my family. You know, my mom gave me the music. My father gave me the love of sports. And I love both of them for that. But like I said, you know, the first time one thing that really, really touches me is I remember as a kid, John Ward built up the idea of Tennessee football so much. And the first time that I walked into Neyland Stadium, it was bigger than life. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I think it was a Tennessee Notre Dame game. And my dad took me there, and I'd spent most of my childhood up to then listening to John Ward on the radio. And it was just an unbelievable moment of my life, and it changed my life. And to think that you fast forward, I don't know, 30 something years, that I would actually play that football stadium and be a part of the history of that place with music. If you'd have told me as a child when I went into that stadium that that was going to happen, I would have bet everything against it.
And that's so interesting because, I mean, you've played every big stadium in this country and if not the world. And I think we'd all like to hear when you walked in there and you looked out. I'm sure you've never had trouble remembering the lyrics to your songs, but I would imagine that was a pretty tough night to belt it out.
It was, you know, because it was such – I remember calling my dad. I was on the road and we had just done the deal to play at Tennessee's football stadium. And that was my first football stadium I ever played. And it was a really special night for me and my family. And it was a dream come true. I mean, it was one of those moments in your life that you just don't see coming. And that kind of started our run of doing stadiums throughout the country. And I think that was 2003. But it was just my connection because of John Ward and because of my family. I remember me and my grandfather sitting on his front porch listening to Tennessee football. And that was something that we did. Now, I remember as far back as I can remember in my memory, something that we listened to. And it was just the way it was. On a Saturday afternoon, I would be out there on the front porch with my grandmother, my grandfather, or with my father, and we would listen to John Ward. And that's when the first time I ever heard the name Condridge Holloway, the first time I ever heard the name Larry Sievers, the first time I all those guys were such big heroes to me.
Still remember Larry Sievers catching a winning pass in my freshman year against Auburn from Clinton, Tennessee, if I remember correctly. He was
yeah, that's right.
What an amazing wide receiver he was. Kenny, I want to ask you about one. I mean, you've had so many famous songs and so many great hits that are played in the soundtrack of our mind. But you did the song, I think it was about 10 years ago, "The Boys of Fall," which every time I hear it, it just gets me, especially this time of the year. What's the backstory on that one?
Well, a friend of mine, Casey Beathard, wrote "Boys of Fall," and his father is or his grandfather. His father is Bobby Beathard, and Casey comes from a long family of people that are football is just a part of their life. And Casey knew that football was a huge part of mine. And you know, Paul, for years, sports was just a part of the fabric of my life. Now, I quit, you know, growing when I was a freshman in high school, and I wasn't that good at playing football. But I can tell you it was such a huge part of my life. And, you know, high school football, I had so much fun playing high school football. But college football, where we grew up, we didn't have a pro allegiance to anyone. It was all Tennessee football and Tennessee sports, and that's all we had. And when you grow up in a town that leans on its sports programs like I did, it's really special. And when Casey played me "Boys of Fall," I knew that it was a chapter of my life, and not only mine, but a lot of people. And that got us on the journey to go interview a lot of people that I really were heroes of mine. We spent a year making a film for on the Boys of Fall for ESPN at the time, and And that's where I got to meet Nick Saban, and where I got to meet John Madden and Brett Favre, and so many of these people that mean so much to this game. But it really was a part of my life that I got to sing about, make a film about. And, you know, our family, we revolved our weekend around that game.
You know, this is just an observation, and I'm struggling here just talking to you because of my affinity for you and what you have done in your career. But I see that little boy in you because, I mean, you've met – and there's nobody in this world you haven't met, but just hearing you talk about people that those of us run into on a daily basis, it's quite extraordinary.
Well, I have a lot of – you know, we do a lot of shows, you know, through the years, and we have more sports people come to our shows than we do music people. And that's because of the Boys of Fall, because it touched a part of their life, and it struck a nerve with so many people that I still, to this day, it's been, like you said, Paul, it's been 10 years. And still to this day, I got a letter from Montana the other day, and this mother wanted me to know just how much that song meant to her and her family and her kids. I still get letters about that, and it's from high school, college, pro. It's been, oh no, you have a lot of hit. I've had a lot of hit songs. I'm very fortunate for that, but I'm really proud of the Boys of Fall because it was more than a hit record. I mean, it was a part of my life, and it was a chapter of a lot of people's lives, and it's you know, it's such a honor, you know, to be able to sing a song like that.
There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I think it was a 60 Minutes piece many years ago, which struck me, and something you did in that has had an indelible impression. It talked about you taking your entire crew, the road crew, on vacation. I think it was somewhere in the Caribbean. But I've never, yeah. That's never left me because I mean, we all work around so many important people, whether it's what we do or what you do. But I had never heard anybody do something like that before.
Well, it's something that I felt was important to do. You know, we spend so much time on the bus cooped up, and we work really hard. And I think I have on any given year, I've got about 120 employees out there on the road, and we see everybody go through a lot of ups. We see everybody go through a lot of downs, you know, and they become family. And I've been out doing it for a little while now. And so I decided, I think it was 2003, that we decided that at the end of every tour, when we're the most exhausted, we're going to fly everybody to the Virgin Islands, and we're going to jump off boats. We're going to have a few cold beers, and we're just going to celebrate the fact that we get to do this for a living in the first place. And, you know, the effect that that has on everybody is really unbelievable, because they take a little bit of that back home with them and back out on the road, you know, the next year. And so it's something that everybody looks forward to, you know, especially we always end our tour right before football season, because I refuse to work during football season for two reasons. I want to watch the games, and I don't want to compete with SEC football. There's no way I'm going to do it. So we always end at the end of August, and then we always go on vacation for a week, and then I tell everybody I'll see them in the spring when we start back.
Wow. Kenny, I can't thank you enough. This is just a thrill for all of us to be able to talk to you and listen to your stories.
Thank you, man.
And what a great job with putting this film together. And all the very, very best.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me, pal.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And what an afternoon. I tell you what, I really, you try to be objective here, but the Kenny Chesney conversation really got to me. Thanks for being here. A couple of segments remaining on a Thursday. We'll be in Columbia tomorrow. Hope you'll come by and see us if you're in the vicinity. How about William up next in Tennessee? Hello, William. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
William, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Hi, yeah, I'm a longtime listener of your program, and I was born and raised in Tennessee, and I was kind of want to get your take on the University of Tennessee are getting out of the playing Army, and also I want to comment on also on your interview with Mr. Chesney. I was the director of security at the college, which his dad was inducted to the Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
And yes, and met him and his group down there at the baseball field. And you remember the smart cars, the Tiger smart cars?
Sure.
Met him there. We kind of kept it hidden. And, you know, in a small town in Tennessee with Kenny Chesney's name, it's kind of a hard thing to do.
Kenny's pretty big in East Tennessee.
But what a class act. His dad, talking to his dad during the week, talking about the security with him arriving and him departing. What a class act. Him, his dad, his whole crew. But I'll hang up and listen to your comments, and I love your show.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work, Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you bringing that up. And yeah, the situation, and I don't know what else I can add. I haven't really heard. I'd like to hear a little bit more from Tennessee on the explanation, but that's their choice. But Kenny, I've always been a huge fan, but. I don't think Kenny Chesney needs another fan. He's got like 8 billion around the world, but I think he made a few more tonight with his comments. That was just absolutely great. Let's continue with more phone calls here. Amos in Georgia. I like that name.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, brother?
Amos, we're doing great.
Hey, man, listen, I just wanted to call in and give my 2 cents on the Bama-Florida game. Bama fans need to calm down. Bama is still Bama. You know this, Paul. Every now and then, Bama has these games where they come out a little sluggish, especially on the road. We saw it in 2014 with Ole Miss. We saw it in 2015 with Ole Miss. We saw it in 2017 with Mississippi State.
Right.
We saw it last year with Ole Miss. Bama's going to be Bama. They'll be undefeated going into Atlanta. Michael Griffith, he needs to make his mind up. Are you a Georgia? Are you a Georgia spokesperson or what? Georgia's fine. They're gonna go in. You're gonna have a century in Atlanta. Both teams will be undefeated in Atlanta. Ole Miss will get exposed next week. They haven't faced a real defense. And Florida fans, you want credit for a loss? Listen, this is football. It's all about wins and losses, okay? If you want credit, go to Macy's. That's all I got to say, Paul. Go Dawgs.
Hey, you're talking to a guy who used to work at a department store. All right. Can you put that win on layaway? That was pretty funny. Let's continue here. Richard is in Mississippi. Hello, Richard. Richard, are you there? I didn't say Richard. I said Richard. Okay, we'll try Larry in Shelby.
What's up, Paul?
What about it, Larry?
Hey, man, look, won't you fishing me Saturday? That big tournament, Kyle Mayburn tournament, it's a tribute to him. He got killed in a car wreck.
Okay. So,
one of the best fishermen on the planet. It's a $100 entry fee.
I wish you hadn't mentioned the $100 entry fee.
Well,
I'll tell you what, Larry. Randy, could I count on you for a few bucks?
Yeah, I'll give you
50. How much? 50? Wow.
Can you?
Okay, hey, you're giving me 50. If I can get 50 more around here, I'll be in.
Hey, my boat holds 50 gallons of gas. We got to fill that
yeah,
up.
I'm really not up for spending that kind of money right now.
Come on, man. I'm can't. Hey, look
hey,
here,
Larry,
man.
It's been a tough year. Five, come five. On. I mean, pandemic and all.
You going that route? They say people with hardly any hair don't get that COVID because they don't have no hairs to catch.
Well, I'm not talking about getting it. I'm just saying it's been tough. I haven't been able to, you know, to tour. You know, I do my stadium tours.
Oh man, you the man. You got a pocket full of money, Feinbaum. Fish it with me. You'd be the hit down there.
Well, Larry, unfortunately, what time does it start on Saturday?
About 5 in the morning, they blast off.
Okay, unfortunately, I have to be in Columbia, South Carolina, Saturday morning. I'm doing a show.
And we'd be running about 76 going down the river. Woo!
Yeah, well, what river are you on?
Lay Lake, baby, right where Eli lives.
I like the name of that.
Eli Gold lives up here.
What happens at Lay? I don't want to ask what happens at Lay Lake.
But Eli lives up here.
Eli lives on Lay Lake?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know that.
I see him. I just don't
sure
want to pester
that?
Him, you know?
I thought Eli lived a little closer in.
No, man. He's down here with the poor people.
I've been to Eli's house. I thought he lived... anyway, I'm not going to tell anybody where he lives, but I'm pretty sure he lives...
It's Lay Lake.
I'm not going to argue with you about where Eli lives. Larry, good luck. Squirrel is up next. Hello, Squirrel.
Have you ever owned a boat, Paul?
No.
I mean, a canoe would count.
I have never owned anything other than the clothes I have on right now.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't take it with you, Paul.
I remember hearing that one time, but it looks like I'm going to.
But no, I really enjoyed the Kenny Chesney talk. You know, he's a big Tennessee fan, but. You know, I think he started off actually as a student at East Tennessee State.
He did. He did. He went to ETSU. And, he played at Gibbs High School. Now, where is Gibbs?
Gibbs is in just outside Knoxville, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And years ago, I was on a company trip down in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and a couple of us had rented a sailboat, and the captain pointed to a house up on the hill and said that was Kenny's house. So. Naturally, all the ladies wanted to get put ashore. You know what I mean? But I knew he had a tie.
He's had. You know, it's one thing to play.
You should buy the house next to Kenny's.
What do you think it goes for?
A million, maybe million, 2 million, maybe. I don't know. It's out of my market for sure. But yeah. it'd be chump change for you.
Unlike all these country music stars, I have one place. I got one house.
Yeah. Hey, tell me about John Ward real quick.
Yeah, 47,000 square feet, but it's one house.
One house. Well, it's not as big as John from Madison's, 10,000 square feet?
Yeah. By the way, I did buy a lot right next to John from Madison.
I look forward to seeing you at Kroger in the future. But talking about John Ward before you run out of time, he growing up and selling Cokes there at Tennessee games as a kid, I always remember John Ward. And one thing that stuck with me for some reason, you may remember it too. Before the game, he would give out the price of everything in the concession stand. He would always say, please pay these prices and please pay no more. And he'd say it in the way he said it, you know. And for some reason, that always stick with me all these years. But look, I'm slipping up to Knoxville next weekend. We're having they're honoring us in Oak Ridge Friday night, the 75 state championship team. So I'm going up to see all my buddies. If you hear this and you remember the 75 team, come on up and let's all meet together next Friday night.
I hear you.
Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
I think it was my senior year in college. Tennessee was playing at Rupp Arena. And John used to always sit there. He's like having a towel around his neck. I don't know what that did, but there must be something voice-wise. And he let me sit next to him one seat over for him during the game. And that was such a thrill. What Kenny Chesney said about John Ward is – it has been repeated by tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of people growing up in Tennessee. He was that important, just like all the other broadcasters are to the various teams. We will take a break. We have 30 minutes remaining, and we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It's been quite an hour if you're just getting on board. We started the hour with Kenny Chesney, and we're taking phone calls the rest of the way. Mike Griffith was here earlier. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be live in Columbia. Many, many guests previewing this weekend's biggest games. We have people at all the big games, including a conversation with Dawn Staley and Shane Beamer, as we are live from the Horse Show on the USC campus. Let's go to Ronnie, who is up next. Hey, Ronnie.
I was just calling in. I'm an Alabama fan.
Yep.
I don't want to take up much of your time, but I think Gary Danielson's name should be put in the hat for the USC coach because he knows all the plays he's called every time you hear him on TV. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, if he took that job, then would that mean he wouldn't do the CBS games anymore, would he? Let's check out. I don't know where you want to go. I'm just going to close my eyes and say Porter is up next. Hello, Porter.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Porter, we are doing great. What's up with you?
I wanted to ask you three questions. First one is, how do you think Wisconsin will do against Notre Dame? Second of all, how well do you think Justin Fields will do in his first start? Third, what did you see from A&M's backup QB, Zach Calzada?
I saw in Calzada a guy that knows how to win, and I think they lose a little bit from Haynes King. I think that speaks for itself when you go to the backup. But I like what he did. I mean, I know he had some tough moments, but he made the play that mattered. I think Justin Fields will be great. I don't know why it's taken the Bears 3 weeks to get to him, but I know that they wanted to take it slow. I'm still kind of torn on the Wisconsin game. Originally, I was leaning toward Notre Dame, but I'm starting to swing around to the Badgers. What about you?
I'm going with Wisconsin because I'm tired of Notre Dame making it in the playoffs and I get embarrassed by some high-level team.
Okay, well, I'm going to pull for Wisconsin too then. Hey, thank you, Porter. Appreciate the call. Percy, get me out of here.
Hey, Paul, what's going on with you today?
Hey there, how are you?
All right. I want to just analyze that game against Florida.
Okay.
And the first half, the defense played awesome and the offense played fairly well. So the defense was able to hold them to 3 points. Second half, the offense didn't play as well. They were dropping balls for first down. They could have kept the game going. That put the defense back on the field. Florida kept coming hard at Alabama. So by that time, the defense wore out.
Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah, they were wore out by then. And so when the offense can't move the ball, they didn't get the defense time to rest. But they did manage to rise up when they needed it to. But if the receivers had to help them out in the third quarter, like the ball that they were dropping, the receivers we had last year, Smith and
Smith and Waddle, who were, you know, just both first-round picks.
Oh yeah, see they when they throw the ball into them, they weren't dropping like that. First Bryce Young is the first year starter, but they did pretty well, but you can bet.
Yeah, Mercy, I think the criticism of Bryce Young is really overdone. I think he's played very well, and he had a couple of balls that should have been caught, but that's okay.
Right, so the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, they're doing a fantastic job. The defense just got wore out because the offense couldn't maintain a long drive to get them time to rest. And Florida kept coming hard, so I think they can bet. And then you can bet Nick Saban going to have them ready this week.
Well, that's right. I think Saban, Saban didn't have to talk about getting their attention. I mean, I would think this was a good week of practice for Southern Miss. And by the way, you know they're not they're practicing. They're already getting ready for Ole Miss. So this Southern Miss game
they're getting ready for Ole Miss. See, it went but two teams I worry about this year. That was Florida and Ole Miss. Now, by the time they jail and the offense come around like they do and just get the defense time to just rest just a little bit, Paul, it ain't nobody going to be. They're going to be – how many championships Nick Saban got? Seven?
He's only has seven national championships right now. Six at Alabama.
Oh, okay, you could have eight. You could have seven at Alabama this year, right? Paul, it ain't nobody going to beat them. Nobody.
You ever think he gets tired of winning those championships?
Oh, no. Sweet home Alabama, baby.
You think he's I've won six here in 14 years. Maybe we ought to let somebody else win it this year.
Oh, no. We ain't going to be able to do it. We're not going to be able to do it.
Percy, you Alabama fans, I don't know what – I mean, is there you're not an easy group to please.
I'm a roll tide all the way.
Where do you live in Alabama?
In Birmingham.
Birmingham. I know it well.
And Paul, I would say this. Now, some Alabama fans, they get mad at me about this. Now, when Alabama can't go to a championship and the Auburn go to a championship, I pull for Auburn. I am an Alabama fan, but if Alabama don't make it to a national championship and if Auburn make it to the championship, I would pull for Auburn, Dean.
So the two times, Auburn played in 2010 and 2013. You pulled for Auburn both times, right?
Yes, I pulled for them because it was for the state of Alabama. Yes, I did.
I did too.
I would pull for UAB if they get there one day.
You think, maybe. I don't think it will be this year.
No, it won't be this year. But that's my
you're a good fan, Percy. I like you. You call again. Thanks for the call, Percy from Birmingham.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Minutes on what's been a busy Thursday afternoon. Steven is up next in Alabama. Hey, Steven, good afternoon.
Paul, how you doing, sir?
We're doing great, Steven. Thank you.
Hey, I want to pick your brain here and reminisce. Back when you were working out of Birmingham, I just wanted all the people to know how good of a person you are. That I won a pro-am tournament at Ross Bridge, and you allowed me to sit next to you, and you interviewed so many great names, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to remember that specific year. I know one year Coach Spurrier was there. We had Tuberville. Who else do you remember seeing?
Well, you had Kenny Stabler. Bo Jackson. You had Steve Spurrier. Yes, sir. This was at Ross Bridge, and you still had your partner. I forget his name. Who was your sidekick during that time?
I'm trying to remember.
He was on the show with you all the time, and his laugh just was a killer.
Oh, that's Neil Vickers.
Yes, Neil Vickers.
The one, most famous sidekick in history, Neil Vickers. He was actually the news guy. One of these days, maybe after the season, we've got to get Vickers on this show.
I would love to hear him again. His laugh was off the chart.
Neil was a retired. I think he was in the Army, career Army guy. I think that's right. Maybe Air Force.
I
can't remember which one it was, but I think we did have him out there that day. Yeah, he really was the glue that they kept the show together all those years.
He was so much fun, but I just wanted to tell your fan base out there how accommodating and how good you were that day. For me to win that opportunity to come up and meet you was especially special. And I just wanted to ask you one question. Give me your thoughts on Bo Nix.
Well, I have always been a fan of Bo. I saw a couple of things the other night I wasn't crazy about, but I still think he looks improved over what he was. So I'm hoping Mike Bobo and Brian Harsin are working some wonders with him. But I still think Bo Nix has a chance to be successful. I know there's some critics. And I mean, I've heard a lot of things that concern me, but I'm still behind him.
Okay, well, sir, I appreciate your time. It's great to talk to you. I hadn't called you in a long time, but I really enjoy your show. Enjoy what you do. I'm glad where you are now. You're a superstar, big guy, and continue the good work.
Stephen, thank you for the kind words, and you brought back some great memories there. Thank you very, very much, Swami. Always brings back big memories. Swami, good afternoon.
Well, hey, big guy. Hey, Paul. I'm going to be brief tonight, Paul.
Okay.
You know, Paul, I kind of called a couple weeks ago and asked you, I think, why didn't UT pursue Deion Sanders?
Right.
And you told him that why didn't Florida State pursue Deion Sanders?
Right.
And then you come on national TV this week and say that USC should immediately hire Deion Sanders. So I'm just asking
Paul? We were reacting to what Reggie Bush said. And
React to him. You got to speak your mind.
Well, I'm trying to give you some context. Reggie Bush said, as a pretty prominent USC alum, that they ought to hire Deion. And my only point was that, you know, if he hires a good coordinator on offense and defense, then he can be the face of the program. But I don't think it's going to happen. And
I don't either.
I really don't think there's any chance of it happening. But I do think Deion is an intriguing coach. I think he brings a lot. And I know there are a lot of critics. Heather Dinesh said she thought they should hire Bob Stoops. I would not hire Bob Stoops myself. I think he's done.
Okay, Bob. Always enjoy it, buddy.
Well,
have a good night.
Appreciate it. Doesn't matter what I say. Swami's going to call me on it. Let's go to Ant in South Carolina. Ant, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great.
Good, good. I'm just calling because earlier I saw someone was calling about the Ole Miss-Alabama game, and they asked about your opinions on it and whatnot. And then they asked about the college football playoffs. And you said if Ole Miss loses that game, they are out. I'm just trying to wonder how you could rule out, if say they win out, say they beat Arkansas, Auburn, A&M, how you could rule out an 11-1 Ole Miss team from the playoffs.
Well, here's the problem in my estimation. You have the – again, this is just an opinion today, but I think if Georgia and Alabama continue – on this collision course, then they're both going to be able to get in the playoff because let's say they're undefeated, and regardless of the loser, I think that the loser of the championship game, if they're both undefeated, would go. And that would knock out Ole Miss because you still have to deal with Oregon. You have Oklahoma, somebody from the Big Ten, somebody from somewhere else. So I think it would be very difficult based on what happened last year to Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what would their signature victory be if they lose to Alabama?
I would say Texas A&M. If they hold on, if they have some statements.
If you play my card, Arkansas, then Texas A&M may have two losses by then.
Yeah, that's true. I think that they're a little scared of this Arkansas team coming up anyway.
Well, we're arguing about something that is many weeks in the future.
It's all hypothetical. But, I mean, so, yeah, obviously in no way you don't think there'd be any way they would let three SEC teams in the playoffs.
I do not think that is remotely possible. Yeah, I mean, again, you have to understand this committee. They put a high premium on conference championships. Now, again, last year they took Notre Dame. They've taken Ohio State without winning the conference championship. They've taken Alabama without winning the conference championship. But I think that game would be a difference maker, and that's an opinion on September 23rd that is worth virtually nothing. But I'm glad you asked me. We're done. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be live in Columbia as we take the show on the road every Friday. Coach Beamer, among the many guests, also Dawn Staley will be joining us. We had a fantastic show today with Griff, and a special thanks to Kenny Chesney for dropping by a few minutes ago. We are out of time. See you tomorrow afternoon.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.